2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 says this, "We have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves." In other words, he said, I don't think I'm all that. Okay? In fact, I'm far from being sufficient in myself. I'm far from it. He said, but I understand. And he said, he's doing a covenant teaching to this church. You understand? He's doing a covenant teaching. He said, this is where your mindset needs to be. Our biggest problem is where our mindset is to be. If your mindset is only from here out, you're going to have a problem. If it's a mindset of only the other things that you're taking in, that's going to be a problem. But it needs to be a mixture of things of a heart, but it all based on the word of God and what God is saying. So he's saying, if anybody had the credentials to say that I am sufficient, it would have been this man. He had the highest of educations in the natural, yet he had the highest touch of God upon him. He wrote the whole right side of the scriptures just about for us in letter form. So if anybody had the right, plus he had suffered because of it, so he had that badge too. And he had gone through, and if anybody could be just a little bit saying, hey man, I've got this thing done. No, every time that's his spirit, and it's for me to understand. He said, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Far from it, I wrote in my margin. But our sufficiency, that's a really, really good word. Our sufficiency is from God, who, now watch this though. This is the new covenant thread of understanding. Remember, in the old covenant thread, it was still that such a worm as I type thing. But this guy's the guy that wrote that we are kings and priests unto God. Well, here is the thread of how that connects. He's talking about this God who also made us sufficient as ministers. I told you it would be the covenant of the new covenant. Now, this is what speaks of our sufficiency. Of our sufficiency in God, the relationship, the covenant relationship. It is not of the letter. In other words, it is not the mechanics. It is not the knowledge, but it is of the spirit. It is of the spirit. And here's the scripture, you know, you can quote it. For the letter, now stop here. When he says the letter in this verse, for the letter meaning the law, meaning the rule on the paper, the letter kills, but the spirit gives what? Life. Spirit gives life. Now, this is true in anything. In anything, it is the spirit that makes the difference. It is the spirit. You can say the right words to someone, but if you have the wrong spirit, the way it is delivered, and that is what's saying what is coming out of you. If you don't have that right spirit, if you don't have that, you can say the right things, but it's not good. Somebody said, I'm going to give you a 9 on content, but I'm going to give you a 2 on form. You understand that? And he said, but it is the letter that kills, but it is the spirit that gives life. Now, in that very same translation, if you move down in that same verse, move down to verse 17, and here's what he says. He says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many of you like to read that scripture right there? Early this morning, I noticed on social media, John Rich, the country singer who loves God with all of his heart, he actually put this scripture in all of his words right now. He says, now the Lord is a spirit. Remember, the letter kills, but the spirit gives light. The spirit gives life. Liberty. The spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. I love liberty. Liberty is a great word. Where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Another translation is, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But it seems today that the keepers of liberty are doing their best to destroy liberty. You understand that? That's where we are today. And if you understand that, you will put 2 and 2 together of why we're going through what we're going through right now. Most of the great problems we face today have been created by political and business leaders who are creating solutions to the problems they created in the first place. Just pay a little attention to that. Case in point, you put business owners, especially small business owners, you put them out of business. You do it under the guise of safety. They lose their jobs. They lose their jobs. They have no jobs. They lose their jobs. They're unemployed. So therefore, the numbers are through the roof. Now, when it's a selective lifting happens, you got something now where some people are trying to go back and get those jobs. And your leaders stand up and say, the unemployment rate is dropping. They created that thing. They created that thing. They created that thing and are wanting a bow for that. It's kind of like the little kid that killed both of his parents and laid himself on the mercy of the court because he was an orphan. You ever heard that joke? That's the joke we're walking through right now. I told you, the word is liberty, and liberty is in the crosshairs right now. We skipped monkeypox. That was quick. That's gone. We're on to something else. Today, the natural liberty is more in danger than ever before. It is insidious. It's dressed up in a piously deceitful robe of freedom, of fairness and inclusion, but it systematically and intentionally chips away at every foundation that we have ever known. And ladies and gentlemen, it is not an accident. I'm so glad, we've sung about America. I'm glad we can are free to say what we want to say. You cannot say it on social media because if you don't say the right thing, you get censored right now. I read this morning that there's some sites that are on social media things right now that are calling names and asking when is Clarence Thomas going to die, and let's think a man of God. Man of character, and that is allowed on social media. It is still on social media. I wonder why, because it is a systematic destruction of our liberty. But it's real easy to be a communist in a free country. Try being free in a communist country, though. Try doing those tricks. Try saying those. Try to march, and you're gone in a heartbeat. But what does really liberty look like? See, we're living in a time right now where the mindset is, I don't want to hear what some old guys dreamed up in Philadelphia one day. Some old guys from long ago. Old guys. One day, I don't want to hear that. They're just some old guys back there. But what does liberty look like? What does liberty look like? I don't know exactly what it looks like, but it must be so good for one of those old guys in 1775 to say, give me liberty or give me death. We learned that as a little kid in school. I don't know. It's probably not in school anymore. It's not in the books anymore. Now, this was not just some political idea. There had to be something bigger to base the dream on. It had to be so good that people would be willing to die for the idea and the ideal. You got it? See the two differences right there? It had to be something different. There is more. And never, never in history has a society used scripture, though, as a template to build a nation. It was never done before. Never had it been done where the idea was to build a society or a nation using the scripture template or the concept of the Word of God, to base our laws on the two tables of stone, to do those things. The work ethic, the establishment of law, the concept that blesses work, that honors the work ethic, the pattern that honors the pattern of the home, meaning the father, the mother, the teaching of the children, and the companion piece of the school that would help. All of this, whether it was the establishment of law, the work ethic, the blessing of work, the pattern of the home, all of this was to be a microcosm of the society that was being built, but the template was not dreamed up by an old guy. It was a template of the Word of God. I wrote it this way. I believe we have experienced a God-allowed experiment to bring his word to future generations. The template, though, has to be the Word of God. How do you know that? The first president in his farewell nation to America said, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. It's impossible to do that. Look, he said that. Our first guy said those things, and today I celebrate that, and I'm thankful for that today. John Adams, if you had a chance to see the mini series on John Adams, it's a bit grisly at points and times, but some of y'all need to see the grisly that they had to get through to get you so you can have weenies and coleslaw on the 4th of July. You understand that right now? And wave little flags and do all that, blow fireworks. John Adams, he said, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral, religious people who it is wholly inadequate of a government of any other. Our constitution was made for a moral and religious people. So the concept there is that the template that they looked at the first time to build a nation, it had to be there, and it had, you had to look at liberty, you had to look at freedom through those glasses to understand it right now. This is the message. Tomorrow we celebrate the 4th. I am so glad. That old guy, that Patrick Henry kid, most people only remember one phrase that he ever said in his life. This speech, by the way, that he made, that I did a little further research. The speech that he made, in which he made that famous statement, he is littered with quotes from the Old Testament and the New Testament. He loved the Word of God. In fact, here's what it said about him. Near the end of his life, he became more and more alarmed at the spread of an atheistic concept and the denying of God, and because they had established their lives and their fortunes on something that was an idea and an ideal that was based on covenant word of Jesus Christ. In fact, he said it's coming from France. He said it is a godless revolution. We're seeing that. He served 5 terms as governor of Virginia, by the way. Toward the end of his life, he reportedly read the Bible for hours at a time. And Patrick Henry made this statement: this book is worth all the books that were ever printed. It has been my misfortune that I never found time to read it with the proper attention and feeling till lately. I trust in the mercy of heaven that it's not too late. He was so immersed in it, he might have not even understood the assurance of the salvation that the covenant preaches, but yet he knew that there was a pull there. There was a pull, and he spent the rest of his life going through scriptures. He said this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, not by the mechanics, but by Christians. And not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never in history had a nation been formed through the glasses of the gospel. And here we are today. It doesn't look like that right now. And although he was there when the nation was birthed in liberty, and to his dying day, he understood the real source of the real liberty. Today we walk in natural liberty because of their vision, because of their sacrifice, because of their foundation on the Word of God. I've told you many times before, but it would behoove you to take a day off of work and spend time downtown at the World War II Museum. Tyler and I were there with a friend the other day, and we walked through, and I never get amazed, and I always ask my question through a different pair of glasses. The different pair of glasses is, can the people running things today, and can the people of that same age that did what they did, they would never be able to step up and do what your grandpas did, what your grandmothers did. When, you know, her grandmother was riveted and making wiring bombs. I mean, all that's kind of fitting if you know them. And the different ones that we know. And I look at that place and I'm amazed. And I say, no, they couldn't do that right now. You couldn't fit your bun up under a helmet right now because you the soy boy mentality. We give up, you know. It wouldn't be waving a white flag either, you know. And I sit there and I say, my God, thank you. But it's slipping away. I see it. He knew the real source. The only reason you've been able to do what you do right now is because of their vision, their sacrifice, the foundation. That is in the natural. And the only way that you've been breathing on this planet is because of an eternal sacrifice. An eternal sacrifice that had a vision for us before your time began. That sacrifice that built a foundation that we might have life more abundantly. That is the concept these guys read. Why can't we work that here? But here's what you need to know. All liberty comes with a price, and all liberty comes with responsibility. The cost to them was quite huge. They knew what was coming right now. In fact, they joined hands together and they signed this sentence: we mutually pledge to each other's our lives. Man, I read that and they couldn't write that today. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The only way you can do that is if you have a vision of something that can be, of what God can do. See, why do you say it was God? It was God because God is the only one that would speak about the concept of freedom, of liberty. He came to set us free. So if we're moving in that, we're walking in God's word. I keep using the word those old guys. That's how people like to talk about some old guys in Philadelphia. I want to tell about the old guys. In 1776, James Monroe was 18 years old. In 1776, Alexander Hamilton. Well, they're singing a lot about him today, but I don't hear the song in the musical about when he invented the Electoral College. That was genius. Alexander Hamilton was only 21 years old. James Madison was only 25. Thomas Jefferson was only 33. Thomas Paine and all of his famous writings, he was only 39. He was the old guy, along with John Hancock. He had to write so big, his eyes might have been going. He was 39. 56 men signed that document. They were bound as one together. Did they pay a pledge for the vision? Did they pay a pledge, their conviction inside of them that said we will untold suffering for them and their families? Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British. They were tortured before they died. 12 had homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in the war. Another 2 sons were captured. 9 out of the 56 fought and died from wounds and the hardships of war. They believed in an inspired vision for liberty that God put in their heart, and they believed it enough to die for it. Margaret Thatcher, oh, what a wonderful, we love Maggie Thatcher, and that thing that happened, that camaraderie that happened with she and Ronald Reagan during those years, and boy, was she the Iron Lady indeed. She said, here's the danger, here's our real enemy today, those who would use freedom to destroy freedom. That's the danger, that's where we are today. Those who would use freedom to destroy freedom. You know, I got to tell you something right now. I'm being forced to accommodate the feelings and the worldview of the mentally unwell right now. It's becoming more and more mainstream right now. Recent poll validates the eye rolling. It said multiple surveys in recent years shows that a growing level of support for socialist ideas among young adults who don't have a vision, who don't understand, especially those in the millennial and Generation Z demographics. For example, Gallup said in May of 2019, 43% of Americans believe that socialism would be a good thing for the United States, and that's well above the 25% that was in the 1940s, the mid-1940s. And of course, you know what went the other way after those war years. That's when you don't have a vision for what it is, and you have no vision for God's love. Matt Slick of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry said, I believe that socialism is inherently at odds with Christianity. But the problem is that Christians who would lean toward anything of socialism are biblically uninformed. Boom, I said it. You're biblically uninformed. You don't understand. Christians who have studied this issue in the light of Scripture, which is rare, will soon discover that socialistic principles are not biblical. Therefore, the Christian ought not to affirm the basic tenets of socialism. Regardless of what mainstream ministry or mainstream media says, or history revisionists may say today, America was founded on the foundation and the freedom protected of our right to worship God. Square one right there. Our right. Not freedom from religion, but the freedom of religion. There's a difference there. Constitution doesn't even have that there. It only has freedom of religion. Yes, I'm concerned, but let me give you some good news. I'm not afraid. I stand unshakable because I serve an unshakable God. Because here's the reason. I love to sing the songs. I like to see your red, white, and blue. But I need to go on record with you today. I'm not blind. My final and most important allegiance is to the unshakable kingdom of God. I must rest in that, therefore be thankful. What do you mean? That should be the mindset for me today. That's the motivation for me today. I am not blind to excesses. I'm not blind to misuse. I'm not blind to people who have failed along the way. And by the way, don't use the thing with so-and-so. They did that and they did that. Let me tell you something right now. None of us could stand under that kind of microscope. So-and-so did this, so you can't trust the rest. You can't do that math right now, because not one of us could stand. Not one of us could stand. Not one of us could stand. Oh, those guys, they stand up and they preach, but you don't know anything about it. Not one of us could stand. Not one of us could stand. Not one of us could stand. That is why it should be an ongoing process of moving toward him. What does his word say? In light, how do I look at things? As I said last week, your worldview should be your word view. Where does the word fit in our lives today? I am thankful in that today, my allegiance. I stand on an iceberg that's melting today. There are a lot of people that stand in a place that I do, and they feel they have to go out of their way to denigrate our land. What has any other land done? What have they done? What have they done? Nothing. Take God out of it. Read your history book. But that has changed all the time. Boy, if you knew those things. Saw people weeping in the street a week ago about poor Margaret Sanger. She was a bigot. She was a reprobate. She was a sex fiend. She was perverted. She was a Nazi. And yet we'll honor her. Today I'm honoring the kingdom today. I'm not. They won't stand up and say anything like that. I think we should be not ashamed to say those things. I pray that God gives us more time to say those things. People of all age, we need you. Because I'm speaking, I think I'm on solid theology today. Hebrews 12 says it this way. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. In other words, when God, the parallel here is, God gave them the law from Sinai. They saw it written down. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? I believe right now we have a heavenly timeline we're on right now. See, when we reject the message of Jesus, when we reject the message of Jesus, which is the message of where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's only one leg on the great table. We reject Jesus and the redeeming, liberating message of the cross. His whole message was freedom and liberation. The tie that sin had on us, you couldn't pay for that. That death had upon us, you could not pay for that. You could not do that. He took those on. His message was of freedom, of redemption, of liberty for all of us. So I would think that if we move in an area that honors those things, through those glasses, that honors that concept, we are walking in his way, bringing freedom. Verse 26 is, at that time, meaning this is the story about Mount Sinai, by the way, okay? At that time, his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. I think we're there now. The words once more, right there, by the way. The word once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things. So everything that is created is going to be shaken, is going to be shaken. We're living in a shaking period. Everything that God created can be shaken and will be shaken right now. Why? Why is God doing it? So that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. That's kind of where I have to land in my mind right now. We're going through a shaking time that when it's over, there'll be something that is precious there for all of us today. Today, don't miss the truth of liberty because a corrupt or a dishonest or a selfish player in our history, or even today, do not miss the truth of liberty because it has been corrupted and misused by someone else. It's out of the box that those words came out of the mouths of Jesus Christ. There's stories like this in every walk of life. It's so easily to and falsely be and so falsely noble to point out, well, they did this and they did this and they were cruel. That does not negate the truth. That does nothing to negate the truth. That does nothing to negate the truth. There are some really, really bad doctors. There's some really, really bad teachers. There's some really, really bad preacher dudes. There's some really, really bad people that are in certain things, but I have to believe in my heart that that is a small number compared to people that are yearning to hear God's voice, saying, Lord, speak to us. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give us direction. Lord, give us favor. Lord, right now, stop this thing in Jesus. And I pray for every, I pray for some of you, especially in these days right now. I heard the new stat that up to last weekend in 2022, the murder rate in New Orleans, Louisiana, of the exact same time is 53 more people than it was last year. The armed robberies is 64 more armed robberies than were listed last year at this time. And boy, we need some leaders. We need some leaders that will say, this is the way, walk in it, instead of leaders that will fold. And they're all folding. We need some voices that will come forth. Here's what the word of the Lord says. That does not make, but even if they're inept, even if they're intentionally corrupt, even if they're influenced by anything else, that does not negate the fact that there is a truth. There is a truth. There is a truth. I think Mr. Thomas said it well a few weeks ago. He said, you got a compass. North is always going to be north. South is always going to be south. East is always going to be west. And you can't say, no, that's not that. No, it's there. So this word is there today. Not thundering amens, but that's all right. I'm not doing it for you. This is so easy. Here's the problem. When you lose the revelation of true liberty, spiritual liberty, it is totally impossible to understand the cost, the value, and the righteous implication of liberty. You got it? Without the revelation of the origin of the real liberty, the spiritual liberty, it is totally impossible to understand and to implement liberty. And if we lose the spiritual application, we lose it all. Today I reiterate my total allegiance and dependence on my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior of all mankind today. We have only one champion, the one who gave us the true liberty. His name is Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this in a letter to a young man, for there is just one God. There is just one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. So when you see those words written by some old guys in a room in Philadelphia, they didn't make them up. They're just copying words they've seen. The great book of James, James chapter 2. You believe that there's one God? You do well. Because even the demons believe and tremble. So they even understand. So it is incumbent upon them to change the mindset, the view of God, by denigrating anyone that speaks a certain way and does these things a certain way. I do not believe in a concept of a national religion. We should be free to do that. Your soul, it's between you and God. I can't make, and I should not make a law. But I want to encourage you. He said, even the demons believe. I said it a minute ago, I say it again. All liberty will come, though, with a price and with a responsibility. We walk in the spirit of liberty because of his sacrifice. I've already told you, we walk in natural liberty for many years, what your grandpa did, and what your grandma did, and what your daddy did, and those before that worked and did those things. I don't even understand how they got through the first winter. I don't understand that right now. My internet goes out and I'm having panic attacks. I don't know how they went through the first winter. I don't know how they did those things, but I'm thankful for them. With liberty comes responsibility. We're saying this is where our hope, our trust, and our faith will reside, in the real liberty. We all have faith. Oh, just no. Even an atheist has faith. Even the demons have faith. They understand that. But the real issue, we must be placing our faith and our trust on that which is reliable. What is reliable? What is trustworthy? The word of God is trustworthy. The word of God is trustworthy. Faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed in. I'm not going to make a deal with somebody who is not trustworthy. who does not have a history of coming through. Oh, just look at the. But we are at a point right now where we are not allowed to look at those things. Boy, I'm trying to edit. Jeremiah, the prophet, he provided a great look of two contrasting and conflicting views. The concept of personal dependence and liberty. Watch this. The Lord is talking, and Jeremiah just speaking. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. You think he read what David wrote in Psalm 1? He'll be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And he will not fear the heat that comes. He will not fear the heat. We're dealing with two contrasting views and conflicting views about our personal independence or our personal dependence on God and the liberty that we're seeing right now. He will not fear when the heat comes. Are you there? But its leaf will still be green. But it's not easy being green, it says in Proverbs. And will not be anxious in the year of drought. Any of you have been anxious? Blessed is the man, though, who trusts in God, whose hope is in the Lord. Why? He's the author of freedom. He's the author of liberty. He's the author of new life. He'll not be anxious in the year of drought. And even in drought, listen to this promise, business people, and nor will cease from yielding fruit. Isn't that good? Hope this encourages you today. This is not just an exercise for sparklers in the backyard. I said this is an exercise that had a founding in the word of the Lord. Don't fall for the thing that natural man has failed and corrupted things. That's what natural man does. That's what natural man does. It's the Adamic nature in man. Man's going to mess it up. Religious people mess it up. Look at the church. How do you think we got some of the chants that we have in the years of chants? You know why? Because when the Spirit of God left, and there was a time where the Spirit of God was taken away for hundreds of years there, they tried to recreate sounds they remembered. So they would create songs and chants that were recreating the worship. And religion will always try to do that. Case in point, back to the Old Testament. The Egyptians get taken over. And face it, church people, they're the best. Church has the best music anywhere. Church people, best music. What do you think Elvis learned how to sing? We heard that. Elvis learned. What do you think Aretha learned how to sing? I'll tell you that. Where did Whitney learn how to sing right now? Where did everybody else, where did they learn how to sing? They learned how to sing as they sang the songs of Zion as little children right now. Read the scripture. They're taken captive. They go into a strange land. They're depressed. It's a drought in their spirit. The heat is on. And they said, I'm just going to give up. They took their instruments and they hung them on the trees, it said. They hung them on the trees and they went their way. And one day the captor said, hey, why don't you sing? You guys could, y'all can get down. Y'all are great singers. Sing some of your songs. And they said, we can't sing a strange song. We can't sing our song in a strange land. That's the way a lot of us are at times today right now. We're in a strange land. But don't stop singing those songs of what the Word of God says. Don't stop doing that. They tried to recreate that later on. And religion, when it tries to control something, tries to recreate something, but it is a pale imitation. And it will soon crumble and melt. Won't be anxious in the year of drought. Will not cease from yielding fruit. Sounds familiar. It's almost like Psalm 1. We see the contrast between, here's a contrast we see. We see a contrast between those who depend on their human spirit, their human abilities, with those who depend on the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and his word. This is where we are right now. This is not systems. This is not people. This is not government, because he is the ultimate source of our liberty. And natural will try to create this thing. Right now, they create crisis right now. And that's really the goal right now. When the gentleman made the statement just yesterday, when he was a question about the hardships that you are facing as people, well, we're really, really sorry, but that's just tough. They're going to have to just stay with it, because it does not cooperate with our new order, our new world order. That was said yesterday. I got the quote. That's insane. That's demonic. The concept is to make people suffer enough. To suffer enough, again, it's history repeating itself. They cried out because of their taskmasters. They cried for deliverance. And to get to that point where somebody will walk up and say, hey, I can fix this, it's all to bring crisis enough. And if you can't see it, please, please ask God. Ask God to do two things. Number one, either ask God to wake me up and change what I feel and what I see, or ask God to open your eyes to something else maybe. I submit myself to that. And I see things going on. I see death. I see despair. They're not predicting food shortages, they're planning food shortages. And for people to cavalierly say, well, we're real sorry about that, and to look at something and say this is when it's really not, it's demonic. Lord, help us. Here's what I'm praying for you, that you'll be strengthened. I've been praying for some of you who might live in places that maybe don't feel safe right now, or work in places that don't feel safe. I pray as the old timers used to sing, Jesus, be a fence around me every day. I know you can. I know you will. You'll fight my battles if I just keep still. Lord, build a fence around me every day. Why? Because he loves you. My next breath, my next heartbeat, my next ability to speak, my next word, all this happens because of my dependence upon him. Here's what liberty really sounds like. Give you a rapid fire. Here's what David said in Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 56, 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's a hand on your hip word. What can man do to me? Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who will tread down our enemies. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That was in David's DNA. He was the one originally said, with every breath I take, every move. He was the first one that sang those words there. That was his covenant DNA. The covenant DNA that the price was paid because I would have natural liberties. I understand that. But more important, a much bigger price was paid that I might have eternal life, liberty from the penalty and the slavery of sin. It's no secret. It's no mystery. Isaac Watts, the precocious young man who they had to channel and give him an assignment because he was a rocker in his day. And the priest gave him an assignment. Isaac, go home, channel your nervous ADD energy, and I want you to bring a new hymn every Sunday when you come to church. I want you to write Isaac Watts. He wrote Joy to the World, The Lord Has Come. He wrote this look that I think I love this thing. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. A kid wrote that, not some old guy. So the prophet Hosea said it this way: who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know these things. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Why? Because they don't understand them. They don't know the original source right there. Our youthful founders told us that we must be bold. We pay a price, but then we must be responsible. And we, especially those after us, they thought we'll reap a great reward. That's what they're saying. They weren't thinking for them. They were thinking on those who came behind them. Many proclaim their natural liberties today. My true liberty, though, is found in something bigger than just my feeble self or even a flag, even a nation. Let us pledge our very lives to the covenant concept that I'm free in him. Liberty might be sticky at times, but it's sure worth it right now. Our old friend Rick Godwin wrote it. He said, if it's worth it, you'll fight for it. If it's worth it, you won't give up when it gets hard. If it's worth it, it's worth your time, commitment, energy, sacrifice, and focus. If it's worth it, then it's worth fighting the good fight. You just have to decide if it's worth it. Thank you, Rick. So today, I celebrate the natural, but that is not my answer. I celebrate the natural because of the spiritual thing. So I'm glad to say today that it was God. It was God who talked to those old guys. It was God who spoke to those old men. They were quite young indeed. To know the fact that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's where I want my highest allegiance to be. I want to celebrate liberty. I want to walk in liberty. Because of one reason, if I read this right, that's where I will find the Spirit of God. We read that as we walked in today. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That is my final goal and should be yours today. Let's all stand. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. There's so much. These messages are so hard. There's so much that could and should. And we have to just, Lord, I just have to believe that I delivered the part that needed to be heard the most at that moment. Pray you'll take this. And as we celebrate, as we laugh, as we get the time off, let's don't join the growing parade to denigrate. I'm thankful because the concept started in the word of the Lord, and that's never been done before. If I can start there, I can build from there. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. Take just a moment and thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his blessing. Thank God. Lord, insulate and isolate my friends here today. Some of them are in dangerous natural situations right now. Maybe on their job, maybe when they work during the day. Evil's out there. It's increasing day by day. And there's a mindset somebody needs to solve it. It will not be solved by someone who does not have the covenant core of understanding that this actually comes from the Word of God. Everything we face today is handled in the Word. Whether it is work, whether it is rest, whether it's play, whether it's our money, whether it's our family, whether it is our home, whatever it is all in the Word. Father, right now we bind the evil spirits and we destroy that under the guise of something else. Make an emergency bad enough so you can fly in and take care of it. We saw that story in Scripture. Boy, this is coming to me right now. We saw that story in Scripture as a young man who had been out hunting one day. And he came back and he said, I'm starving to death. I'm starving to death. And he let his natural appetite, he let his natural weariness, he let his natural fear trade what God had given him for a momentary bowl of soup. Don't let that happen to us. But that's, man, that just came to me right now. That's what's going on right now. The light's on. That's what's going on right now. I'm dying. I'm starting. No, you're not. Stay tough. By the way, be smart. When you go buy some food, go buy a little bit more. You got that? Go buy just a little bit more. Maybe you can win the lottery. You know the lottery jackpot this year is pretty. This week it's pretty big. The lottery's great. 12 chicken nuggets, 6 rolls of toilet paper, and a piece of plywood. How many of you want to? That's what you win on the lottery this week. You get that right now. So don't trade your birthright. Lord, we thank you today. We bless you. Happy Independence Day. Not in the natural. Thank God for the old guys. They weren't. You notice I've been hitting that because it was not. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he grant you peace right now in Jesus' name. May there be laughter and joy. May there be remembrance. And we give thanks and we honor your word, Jesus. We love you. We have no freedom without you. We have no life without you. We have no breath without you. We thank you. And everybody said, try to skip out. I'll see you later.